Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalam ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa wala rabbi shahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hamza, if you can have some of the books for the sisters, inshallah, that will be wonderful. Jazakallahu khairan. Hamza is a busy man, mashallah, coordinating everything. Barakallahu fihi. Okay, let us begin with az-zakat. Az-zakat is the pillar of Islam. We have the five pillars of Islam, as-shahada, and then as-salah, prayer. Then you have az-zakat, fasting, number four, and hajj. These are the pillars of Islam, meaning that without the pillars, the building will collapse. That's what a pillar is supposed to be. A rukn, a building, is held up by the pillars. If you remove a pillar, that building, the structure collapses. Meaning that if a rukn is missing in the person's life, their structure of Islam will collapse. So zakat is that very, very important thing, that if it is not there, it's that building of Islam will cease to exist. So it is a very important thing that is in our religion. The word zakat, linguistically first, means an-nama wa-ziyada wa-ri'. It means to grow. It means to become more. So this is, for example, Ali radiallahu anhu would say, al-ilmu yazku bil-infaq. He would say that knowledge increases when you spend it. Right? Of course, spending knowledge means teaching other people, right? And that's the best way to learn anything, is when you teach something to someone, you really master that concept. Zakat also means as-salah, lughatan. You know, in the language, it means for something to be put in order, for something to be good. For example, Allah says in the Quran, فَأَرَدْنَا أَن يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَكَاتًا وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. The child that was taken away from the parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Khidr saying that Allah wants to replace that child with someone who is khayra minhu zakatan, who is better for them, like salahan. It's a more appropriate fit for that parents, for those parents to have that child. For something that has good and is more appropriate. So this is the idea. Az-zakat is it's tathirun lil-mal. It is purification of the wealth that we all have. And through it also is islahul mal. Through it is we set our wealth straight. When we give our zakat, it's as if we are fixing our wealth and making sure all of the rest of it that zakat is not given from. Right, because zakat is only 2.5%, as we'll see. The other 97.5% of it is fixed by the action of giving zakat. And of course, it is has the meaning of growth. Because the Messenger said that مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ. When you give any charity, that does not reduce your wealth. In fact, it increases it. So zakat has all of those meanings in it. So it's a very beautiful thing. It is referred to in the Quran as sadaqah. Okay? Innama sadaqatu lil fuqara. And it is referred to in the Quran as zakat as well. Both words are used. And when it is used in the word zakat, for example, in the book that you all have, you will see it mentions that it is mentioned 32 times in the Quran. And it is interlinked with salah 30 times, and the obligatory prayer, it is linked with it. Sorry, it is zakat means the actual zakat, giving money 30 times, and 28 times it comes linked with salah. So it tells you when something is a lot, repeats a lot in the Quran, it tells you of the importance of that action. If you think about why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the two together, as-salah and zakat, you have to imagine the situation of the whole the community. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people, الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. These people, Allah describes them, referring to the Sahaba initially, but anybody who is a good person who can do this, is when they are giving power and governance. What do they establish? They establish the prayer. So that establishing the prayer means, you know, the mosques and the institutions are established. Okay, from the government level. The educational structure, madrasa, was actually called the school. Right, the kids would go to the madrasa, which is the local masjid. That's where they're going to learn, you know, all the elements of their life and their deen together. It was only after the colonists came and they separated the two things. Madrasa for Quran and school for, you know, education. But back in the day, everything was in one place. So, aqamu salah has the spiritual benefit, but the establishment of the mosque and the establishment of schools and the establishment of education for the public, all that is included in it. Aqamu salata wa atawu zakat. And then they give zakat. They establish a system of giving zakat, and that takes care of the people of the society that are underprivileged. It takes care of those that are needy, those that are poor, those that are in debt, those that need money for a short term, not necessarily long term needs. It takes care of them. It finances the army. It fixes the roads. All of that institution is set up through what? Zakat. Right? So you see, when Salah and Zakat are mentioned together, and those two institutions are established, they take care of all the social needs. Everything. So our spiritual needs, educational needs, our community needs for coming together, spaces for people to come together, and zakat is for the establishment of all the social services provided by the government. That's how zakat used to be, subhanallah. And in the time of Umar ibn Abdulaziz, rahimahullah, was when the Muslims had so much zakat that there was no one to take zakat. So they would take that zakat and they would feed the birds on the mountains, because they had nothing to do with that money. Everything, everybody was taken care of, subhanallah. This was, when implemented right, this is what happens. It literally eliminates poverty. Subhanallah, may ask Allah to return us to those days. This is zakat mentioned in the Quran. Of course, it is by the consensus of the scholars that zakat is wajib, okay? And very famously, the Abu Bakr as-Siddiq fought the people who said zakat is not mandatory. So, it doesn't need to, I don't need to go into why it is mandatory. But one interesting ayah from the Quran, in which Allah describes the people who are being tortured in the fire of hell. In Surah Tawbah, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. These people who are hoarding gold and silver, and they don't spend it in the way of Allah, then tell them that a severe punishment is about to come and strike them. Okay? The ayah was speaking generally, more specifically about the corrupt priests and rabbis, okay, of the past, and how they would take people's money under the guise of, you know, give for the sake of Allah, and then they would use it for their own personal gains and benefit. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this a general point, not just criticizing them. He says, anybody who does this, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. And what's that عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ? What's that painful punishment? يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمٍ. The day when it is melted, those ornaments are melted in the fire of hell. فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ. And with that, they will be branded. You know what branding is, right? They would take that hot metal and they would, you know, roast, like it will be put on the person's jibahuhum, on their foreheads, wa junubuhum, on their sides, or zuhuruhum, on their backs. In every different way they are being branded by that. And then it will be said to them, hadha ma kanastum li anfusikum fadhuqu ma kuntum taknizun. This is what you have gathered for yourself, so now taste the enjoy what you have gathered. فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. Ibn Ashur says, he says, تَعْمِيمُ جِهَاتِ الْأَجْسَاتِ بِالْكَيْ فَإِنَّ تِلْكَ الْجِهَاتِ مُتَفَاوِتَ وَمُخْتَلِفَ فِي الْإِحْسَاسِ بِأَلَمِ الْكَيْ فيحصل مع تعميم الكي إذاقة لأصناف من الآلام. الله أكبر. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the different types of body parts. تُقْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ, you know, the forehead and their sides and their back. Why is he mentioning these three? It's to show that the punishment will be given to them and they will taste it in different ways to give us an idea of how severe the punishment is. To make us realize how big of a crime it is to hold back az-zakat. Subhanallah. And the messenger of course said, ما أديت زكاته فليس بكنز. Once you have given the zakat, then it is not al-kanz. Then it's not something you're hoarding. Then that's your money. You can do whatever you want with it. You can save it. You can spend it. You can invest it. Once you have given zakat of it, you can do whatever you want with it. That's halal. Okay? But if you don't give zakat of it, it counts as the money that's been hoarded wrongfully. And that's what the ayah is referring to. So, alhamdulillah for us, the equation is very simple. Give zakat, and whatever else is left, alhamdulillah, we enjoy the blessings of that. Walillahi alhamd. Okay, that is az-zakat. Now, I'm going by actually a workshop that I prepared, but that was like an 8-hour workshop, so I'm not going to go all through all of those points. But I'll go through a few things. Number one is, let's look at this, page number 4. Who pays zakat? It says that an adult who has reached puberty, a Muslim, and a person who is aqil, someone who is sane, meaning that they are of sound mind. Okay, so if somebody is not of sound mind, zakat has been waived from them. Okay, of course, if a person is not Muslim, they don't pay zakat. They have bigger issues, which is they have to accept Islam. And adults have to give zakat. There is a khilaf of the scholars. There is a difference of opinion among the scholars with regards to the zakat of the child's money. Okay? The money that a child has. Okay? And Allahu A'lam, it is okay. The Al-Malikiyya, Shafi'iyya, and Hanabila, they say that you have to give zakat from the wealth of a child. Now, the wealth of a child, to conceptualize what that means, if you have children, their wealth is your wealth. Yes? Like, my daughter does not own anything. I own it. She just, you know, plays with it. Okay? So that's not what it's referring to. It is referring to particularly, for example, an orphan. Okay? So a child that is an orphan, 5-year-old child, father passed away, and this child has a lot of inheritance. Right? Or has some inheritance. Okay? That child now, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا مَنْ وَلِيَ يَتِيمًا لَهُ مَالٌ فَلْيَتَّجِرْ فِيهِ وَلَا يَتْرُكْهُ حَتَّى تَأْكُلَهُ الصَّدَقَةً. The person who is taking care of an orphan child. Okay? This orphan child has money. You are taking care of this child. Don't leave this child and his wealth unattended. Okay? فَلْيَتَّجِرْ فِيهِ. That money should be used in some sort of investment, in some business, so it grows. He should not just leave it sitting idly and let zakat eat it away. So from that, what do you understand? Is zakat to be given on the child's money or not? From the hadith, it's very clear that the Prophet said that zakat will eat it up. That means zakat is given from that wealth, right? That's the idea behind it. And from this also we get the beautiful understanding of the religion that, you know, money is meant to be, you know, moved around, invested, so that it grows and doesn't just sit idly. Zakat is consuming it. Right? This is an important understanding. You can't just sit on money, because if you're just sitting on it, guess what's going to happen? It's going to go down by 2.5% in net value over every year. In fact, even more, because we also have inflation, about 2%. So you will lose 4.5% of it every single year. So it has to be put into some sort of investment so it grows. Alhamdulillah, when it grows, you give zakat on what the growth, you give zakat on the principal, as we'll see, and it's khair and barakah all around. So that is the opinion there. Walillahi alhamd. Zakatable wealth, let's look at that. Zakatable wealth is, what is it that you give zakat on? Okay. Number one, the wealth that you have complete ownership of. This is an important one. This is a very important condition. This is called istiqrarul mulk. You have complete ownership and access to that money. Okay, that's number one. Please keep that in mind. Number two is free of haram income. Zakat is not due upon earnings that are haram. I'm on page number four, by the way. One should dispose of that amount and give it in charity and seek forgiveness from Allah. This is an important point. If somebody is earning money from haram, for example, you know, they work at the LCBO. It's a very haram thing to do, brother. All you're doing is selling alcohol. There's no gray area there. That wealth, right, should be purified by just giving it away. Okay? And if a person has, I mean, that's like all of their wealth is haram. But if a person has some element of their wealth that is impermissible, for example, maybe they have an account where they get interest from the bank, right? And the bank is not going to waive that interest off. Or they have some sort of investment that's impermissible. It's a haram investment and it's earning like a bond or something. It's earning interest or something. That particular amount should be, in the correct opinion is, should be just given away, right? So if you've earned $10 in interest, try your best to stop earning the $10 in interest and give that $10 away. Okay? And there's no zakat on that because zakat has to be on halal wealth. Okay? It has to meet the nisab. It has to meet nisab. Bulughun nisab. This is a very important condition. A nisab is 20 dinars of gold, which is 85 grams, or 200 dirhams, which is 595 grams of silver. Okay? These are the measures for it. The 85 grams and the 595 grams are estimations of those and very close estimations. What does that turn out to be in dollar value? The dollar value of that is around $400. So if you have around $400 in your bank that you have for the whole year, then the zakat is due on that money. All right, that is the idea. The last point, of course, is the hala alayhi al-hawl. The whole year has passed by, and then zakat is due because zakat is due only once every lunar year. Okay, so if a person has, let's do an exercise. They have $1,000 in their bank, and if that $1,000 has been with them for 1 year, zakat, yes or no? Yes, there's zakat on it, right? That's the idea. And this is in their bank account, so they have complete ownership. You know, the year has passed by, so zakat is due. Question?
You say you had a thousand for 4 years, but if you owe money, no.
We're coming to that. Oh. Details we're coming to, inshallah. Barakallahu fiqh. Excuse me. Let's move on to masarif al-zakat. Who receives zakat? Who can take a zakat, meaning like receive a zakat. Okay, so this is from the ayah of Quran, Surah Tawbah. Innama as-sadaqatu lil-fuqara wal-masakina wal-amilina alayha wal-masakini wal-amilina alayha wal-muallafati qulubuhum wa fi al-riqabi wal-ghalimina wa fi sabilillahi wa ibn as-sabil fariidatan min Allahi wallahu alimun hakim. Subhanallah, this is a fariida from Allah. This is a obligation from Allah, and Allah is most knowledgeable and most wise. Who are these eight? Number one, al-fuqara, the poor. Okay, you can read with me. Al-masakin, the needy. We'll differentiate between the two just shortly. Okay. Number three, al-amilina alayha, those employed to administer zakat. Number four, al-mu'allafati qulubuhum. Hearts are to be reconciled. This is a non-Muslim. Okay, you give them money, they're close to Islam or they just accepted Islam. You give them money and they're like, okay, I'm becoming a Muslim. Okay, we'll come to this one as well. Wafir riqab. It says the one who is in slavery, it means anybody who is in slavery or imprisoned. Riqab has, wallahu alam, both meanings applicable. Al-ghadimin. Number six, those in debt. Wafi sabilillah. Number seven, in the way of Allah. Wabn as-sabil, and the destitute traveler. Okay, we'll explain these quickly. Because again, we want to get to the calculation point. There's a lot of, you know, details around these ayat. Firstly, innama, the ayah starts with innama sadaqatu lil fuqara wal masakin. So that means only these eight, nothing else. All right. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man came to the Messenger of Allah and he said, "Give me zakat." The Messenger said, "Inna Allah ta'ala lam yarda bi hukmi nabiyyin wala ghayrihi fas-sadaqat hatta hakama fiha huwa fajazza'aha thamaniyatan fa in kunta min tilka al-ajza' a'taytuka haqqak." He says, the Messenger says, Allah has only chosen, only Allah has chosen himself to decide who gets zakat, nobody else. No prophet, no other human being decides this. Allah himself chose who are the categories of zakat by revealing the ayah of the Quran. If you are one of those eight, I'll give you your right. This is important. The zakat is the right of the person who's receiving it. Right? So once the year has passed, okay, I have $1,000. Okay, zakat is 2.5%. Well, as you know, what's 2.5% of 1,000? $25. So 1 year passes by, okay? Ramadan, if I start in Ramadan, counting the year, and the Sha'ban has ended. Okay? Now, 1 year has passed. Yes? Great. Now, of the $1,000, I own $975. That's actually my money. The $25 is the money of Sadaqat, the people who are the recipients of zakat. أَعْطَيْتُكَ حَقَّكَ, I will give you your right. It becomes their right. So, to tell you of the urgency of the matter. Alright? Al-Fuqara are the people who are poor. Al-Masakin, the ones who are needy. The differentiation here between the two is Al-Fuqara have a higher need. The poor have a higher need. Al-Masakin have a lower need. Why? Al-Fuqara is somebody who has very little, if nothing. Okay, he has, something like very. He can't even make his ends meet. Okay, but miskeen is somebody, for example, who has a job, perhaps who's working, but is still very tight. Everything is hand to mouth. Why is that? For example, Allah says in the Quran, "Amma as-safinatu fakanat li masakina ya'maluna fil bahr." The people who are masakin, they own the ship and they used to work on it. Right? So he used the word masakin to describe the people who were working on a ship. So they had a job, but perhaps they didn't pay them that much. They didn't make enough to feed their family or meet all their needs. So that is al-miskin, that's the needy. And wallahi, this is an important thing to understand. Zakat is not given to the person who is only starving. Okay? That's a faqir, and that person is obviously number one in the list of eight. But also the one who isn't starving but is in a very tight situation. And zakat can alleviate his pains. Okay? Zakat can take him from a situation where he is worrying, next month, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? To a point where he's like, alhamdulillah, I am good. Right? It's very important to understand the distinction. Wallahu a'lam. And like I said, there's a lot of difference of opinions of the fuqaha here. I will not go into the details. I'm just giving you a few of the few of the opinions. Al-Hanabila, for example, the Hanbali scholars say, فَقِيرْ إِذْ مَلَّا مَالَ لَهُ وَلَا كَسْبَ يَقَعُ مَوْقِعًا مِنْ حَاجَتِهِ. He's like, faqir has nothing or earns nothing. Okay? For example, somebody has a need of 10 dirhams and they have nothing. Okay? And he doesn't, is not able to earn anything, that's a faqir. Whereas miskeen would be somebody who can get from 50% to 100. That's a miskeen. So a faqir is like 0 to 50%. And a miskeen is from 50 to 100%. This is the opinion of the Hanbali scholars, just to give you an idea, right? It's not like exactly, you know, like you're calculating, oh, you are faqir, you're not miskeen, right? But just give you an understanding of what it is meant to be. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, so that is the poor and the needy, those employed to administer the zakat. The ones who are employed to administer the zakat, wallahu alam, in my opinion, an opinion of like the scholars that I study from, this is not something that applies to normal people, like who are working in zakat. This applied to the government who has employed employers to collect zakat on their behalf. Okay, because it becomes an issue of wakala. It becomes an issue of you are now like a representative, right? So if a if a person has a employer, an organization has an employer solely working to distribute zakat, even though they could say this applies to them, and again, this is, you know, differences of opinions are all there, and not here to like say this is right or this is wrong. I'm just telling you what I believe is the correct thing. Here, in my opinion, this category is not applicable because عاملين عليها were always from the government, right? The employers, or the rather the employees, were appointed by the Islamic government, and they would be the ones in charge of distributing zakat to them, right? So it's the ayah when revealed, the circumstances from then to now are different. So that's why I would hesitate to just take it as it was in, you know, 1400 years ago or 1300 years ago and just drop it in today and apply it today. That's why I'm saying that. But if someone believes and takes this opinion based on, you know, nusus and texts and fatawa, alhamdulillah, it's their choice. Okay. Number four, مُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ, people who are, they are close to Islam, their hearts are reconciled. They basically have to, if you give them money, they feel that Islam is honored and they're attracted to it. This is something that can be done. It was more prevalent when Islam was dominant, okay? Less prevalent now when, subhanAllah, the recipients are mostly Muslims of zakat. Allahu musta'an. Fir riqab, like you mentioned, it is al-mukatibun. It is the people who are in slavery. But also, it is asiran musliman. Any prisoner that is a Muslim can also be freed. Wallahu alam. And that is the opinion of the Hanabila and many others. Wallahu alhamd. Ghanimin is a person in debt. The details of what is a person in debt is basically a debt that is permissible debt, something that is weighing them down. If you see somebody who owes $20,000 and people gather their zakat and give that person that money, well, alhamdulillah, that's a good thing. Okay, there is a important note about how much they're earning. Okay, if a person, for example, is a faqir or a miskeen, and they're able to earn enough to make them their ends meet, earn enough to make 100% of their ends meet, then they shouldn't be given zakat and they shouldn't receive zakat. Right? Like if they're at a point where they're over the limit of, you know, their daily needs, just by a little bit, it's preferable for them not to get it because they're able to get money, right? Maybe they have to work a little harder, all right? But if they're not able to get money despite working hard, or prices are rising, rent is increasing, and everything is difficult for them, then of course zakat is given to them. Same thing here. If a person is able to earn money to pay off their loans, there is something to be considered there. But if they are in a situation where, for example, somebody had cancer, like some surgery, okay? This happens in America a lot, right? Somebody has some surgery and now they're in debt. And they can't work because they're in bed. They have to like recover. And subhanAllah, this person is now just going to get thrown on the street because all of their assets will be seized from them. So that's a person who's definitely a gharim, right? Whereas somebody who bought a car for $20,000, makes $5,000 a month, right? But is not paying off that loan. I said, brother, you earn, mashallah, enough to pay it off in like a few months if you put your mind to it, right? I don't think you're a gharib. So it's something to figure out between the situations. Wallahu alam. Fi sabilillah is the most controversial one. I won't say too much about it. But wallahu alam, fi sabilillah is, and there's classical differences. They say there's three possibilities. One is the army of the Muslims. Number two is anything to do with the helping the army of the Muslims, masalihul harb. And number three is hujjaj. This is the opinion of the majority of scholars, that hujjaj are included in this category. But wallahu alam, this category has become a place where people say there's a lot of flexibility. I would say that we should stick to the three mentioned by the classical fuqaha, and of that three, really, Hujjaj are the ones that are remaining. All right. The last category, which is the Ibn Sabil, the destitute traveler. This is somebody who has money in his country, in his home, but when he's traveling, he's lost his money and lost access to his money. Okay, this doesn't happen in the modern world as much because, alhamdulillah, we're always connected. So that's a good thing. But imagine for a minute you lost your phone, you lost your bank card, and you were, you know, somewhere where you needed money. Okay, and you had no relatives and no way to get any money. There's no ATMs, nothing. SubhanAllah, now you are Ibn al-Sabil. Even if at home you are, you know, well off, at that point you become Ibn al-Sabil, and that is when you can receive enough zakat to get you your money, access to your money, or get you home. One of the two things, right? If getting you your access to your money is quicker, then you get that much. If it is getting you home is quicker, then you get that much, and off you go, alhamdulillah. Alright, so those are the eight categories. Walillahil hamd. When is zakat paid? Zakat is paid, of course, when the lunar year has passed. You have to count the lunar year. Most people do it Ramadan to Ramadan. That's why we're talking about this before Ramadan. Questions about this before we get into actual zakat calculations? Yes, sir? Yes. Yes.
But also someone carrying something in his bag.
Yes.
Not in that also somebody carrying a lot of money in his bag.
Yeah.
In the way of Allah. I don't understand this picture, but how it looks like.
It's just a road.
It's a road.
He's going on a road. Yeah. So now in modern times, fi sabilillah has been used, for example, to justify building expenses. Expenses of like schools, running organizations, and those are opinions based on scholarly fatwa, right? I'm not one to say, oh, that fatwa is wrong or right. That's not my place. Okay. Seek knowledge. Wallahu alam. I would not say this from fi sabilillah, right? I would not include it in that category, right? I would restrict it to either. When the state, like a proper Muslim state exists, the funding of the military and the army, number one, and number two, the funding of the Hujjaj. Okay? Those are two categories that I would myself say fi sabilillah applies to, because that's what the four madahib from the very early times have restricted it to. Now if someone wants to expand it, and it is a faqih and a mufti, and they say this is reason and there's, you know, situations, well, alhamdulillah, that's their, you know, fatwa, and that's their, you know, scholarly opinion, right? I'm not one to debate that. But I would always say, this is just like my personal take, we should tread on the side of caution when it comes to zakat, right?
Like
al-Muhajirin, yes, yes. Like from the Sahaba, yes, definitely. You have a question, brother?
Number 6, those in debt.
Yes.
Could this be like extended family members who are in debt, like serious debt, like permissible debt, like cousins or something? Or
yes. So zakat, as we will see, you can give zakat to anybody besides, like say, like you cannot give zakat to your wife because she is your dependent, or your kids, they're your dependents, right? But all the family members you can give zakat to, right? Parents are also zakat. I can't remember actually. Hold on. Allah. Yeah, you know. Liman intasfa ila al-muzakki. Bil wilada, of course. Yes, sorry. Allahumma sta'an. Anybody who is from the usul, which is the fathers and grandfathers, and al-warithin, anybody who is your descendants, right? Your dependents and descendants, wife, etc. None of those can receive zakat. Those are actually your, they're inheritors of your wealth, right? They're not recipients of zakat. So they don't receive zakat. The rich obviously don't get zakat, you know. This is not tax benefits. And the family of the Prophet don't receive zakat. But there's a lot of like, you know, khilaf on who exactly that is and how, what it looks like today. Lastly, the non-Muslims don't get zakat either. Okay? This is something that is established because the Prophet said, it is تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. The zakat is taken from the wealth of the of their wealth, their rich, right? Their being the Muslims, and it is given to their poor. So then this means those poor are what? Muslims or non-Muslims? Same as the first one, which is the ones who are Muslims, right? You're taking zakat from Muslims and giving it to the Muslims. That's the idea. Imam Ahmad says that it is acceptable to give zakat to the one who is muallafati qulubuhum, their heart number, category number 4. He says this is permissible, Imam Ahmad says. And Imam Ahmad also says that if there is a non-Muslim employed by the Muslim state to be the worker to give zakat, then he can receive his salary from zakat as well. Wallahu a'lam, right? But those are exceptions. The rule is that is not to be the case. The debt, right? The person in debt has to be a serious debt. Like I mentioned, somebody got sick, something happened, their source of income got reduced dramatically, and they don't make money enough to be able to pay that zakat, that debt off. Right? That would be about it. Yes. Yes. So when it comes to poor non-Muslims, for example, right? Now this is a modern day question. I asked this of the fatwa, the committee in Amja, right? The fatwa Amja is the American Muslim Jurists Association, and I asked them specifically about charities, Muslim charities. Muslim charities by law are not allowed to discriminate. Okay, if a Muslim charity, right, like say, you know, IDRF or NZF or Islamic Relief or something, is giving money to like poor people, then they're not allowed to say, here, Muslim, take money. Here, non-Muslim, oh, I can't give you money. Right? They can't do that legally. Okay? That will be discrimination. And that will be cause for revoking their license. Okay? So, or their charity status. So, the fatwa from the Amja committee was that it is permissible to do that because there is no other way you could do it. Right? That's an exception. And then they would say that to err on the side of caution, you should give your zakat to, like, for example, send it to a country where the majority of people are Muslims. So the probability of a non-Muslim getting it is few. And if they get it, no problem, alhamdulillah. Right? Whereas a place where there is a lot of Muslims and non-Muslims, you should help them through sadaqah. You should help them through sadaqah, general sadaqah donations. You know, that should be used for them. Okay? But zakat should be as much as possible kept for the Muslims, for organizations, which is very difficult for them to make that distinction, it's not impossible, then for them the ease is there to try their best, inshallah. I don't know that narration. Allahu Akbar. But I know of that question, like, because I had that question, and I asked the fatwa committee of that, and they said that's the position of the board there. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, brothers. Yeah. Yeah. What has what, sorry? Yes. 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 To the Muslims. Only Muslims. Zakat is meant to be only for, yeah. But now under circumstances where you cannot differentiate, you cannot stand in like a camp, like a refugee camp, and ask a person, Muslim, okay, here is your zakat. So, right? Non-Muslim, you go take sadaqah. It's a very difficult thing to like implement, right? Back in the day, when the state was in charge of distributing zakat, it was different, right? They could, you know they would know details, and they would help out a non-Muslim with sadaqah, they would help out a Muslim with zakat, right? This was no, like, to my, as much as I have read, never has like a non-Muslim been like turned away from like help. They would come to the Baytul Mal, they would always get money. Because that's from the Makarimul Akhlaq. That's what the religion teaches us, to help anybody. But zakat specifically, right? Just like zakat cannot be given to like, zakat can't be given to fix the microphone or something, right? Doesn't make that fixing the microphone is not a good thing to do, right? You can do it from sadaqah money, right? It's just, it's very specific, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said it that way to take care of a, you know, the larger problem. Now, modern day organizations have a problem because it's tough for them to be able to distinguish. So for them, the fatwa is, try your best, and inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept, inshallah. So that is the people of zakat who receive zakat, the people who... So you can give zakat to your family members, as we were discussing. This is an important part, by the way. Not to your inheritors, like father, grandfather, grandmother, mother, or your descendants, but a brother, like somebody who is in need. Descendants as in like your child, grandchild, great-grandchild, they can't get zakat, they get your inheritance and your support. But a brother, a cousin, you know, an aunt, they all can receive zakat. There is no problem whatsoever. In fact, it is good to give zakat to family members. It is good to do that. Because it's two ajrs. It's the ajr of zakat, it is the ajr of keeping family ties. So it's a very, very good thing to try to do that whenever possible, inshallah. Now, let's get to the zakatable assets. So we are on page number 7, inshallah, okay? You can fill this out at home, inshallah, and there's also, in fact, a calculator that you can go to online and just put in the numbers and it will calculate for you. I would actually recommend that you have like a system of calculating zakat. Like I have a spreadsheet, right? And I have my information there and I update it, and every year, you know, I make a new copy of it. It just keeps it very simple, right? So the process of calculating becomes easy and quick, and you can give zakat, alhamdulillah, with no complications and a clean conscience, inshallah. Zakatable assets. What is zakat due on? What kind of asset do you give zakat on? Do I give zakat if I have a bottle of water? What if I own a home, right? All of those things we have to figure out. What about clothes, right? You know, laptops. All this stuff is valuable stuff. What do I give zakat on? That's the question. Well, here's what we give zakat on. Cash and liquid assets, okay? Anything that's cash, okay? Or, like, you know, any like in your bank account or in your hand cash, any type of cash, anything that you can use to pay somebody, okay, that is considered to be cash. Liquid asset is something you can right away turn into cash, okay, right away you can turn it into cash. So those are different, but say for example, let's use like an example such as you have some cryptocurrency. You can turn it into cash right away. Okay, you can, right? So you know it's considered to be like a liquid asset. Stocks are liquid assets too, but there's a separate category for it. So we'll come to that in that point, inshallah. But liquid here means you can get the money right away. It's money that it's like as if you have it in your hand. Okay, so that's what. Salah Isha is what? 10 o'clock. Right? Okay, good. That is number one. It's important to count all your cash. So if you have all different accounts, if you have some cash you store somewhere, right? If you have, you know, different places you put money in, it's important to track all of them, okay? And it's important to make sure that we don't forget about like an account or something that has some cash sitting in, because zakat is due on it, and it is the right of the poor and the needy. And so we have to be careful. Gold and silver, okay? So gold and silver are called al-naqdain in Arabic, the two valuable currencies. Gold and silver, there is an opinion amongst the fuqaha, for example, where you know they say that gold that you wear, right, like as a not you as men, you should not be wearing gold, but the huli, right, the the jewelry of the women that they wear on a regular basis doesn't count as gold that you are storing for value, right? So that is an opinion. Wallahu alam, the opinion of the majority is that you take all gold, right? You take all gold, even if it is huli, even if it is like jewelry and whatnot. I mean, how much jewelry can a girl wear? I mean, she's always wearing a lot of necklaces, Allahu alam, right? But it would say just include everything and just give zakat on it, Wallahu alam. But again, there is a difference of opinion. So if you follow the opinion that it is no zakat on al-huli in what you wear, as in like a woman wears regularly, then there is no zakat upon that, Wallahu alam. Okay? Yes. Yes. That there is an opinion. For example, the Shafi'i opinion is that sorry, one sec. Yes. الحلي من ذهب الفضة الذي يعوده مالك لاستعماله في التحلي استعمالا مباحا. Al-Malikiyya, Al-Shafi'iyya, and Al-Hanabila say that it is no problem, there's no zakat on it. If you are wearing it, like a woman is wearing it, no problem, no zakat. Whatever she wants to wear. She wants to wear a lot of grams, mashallah, good for her. Huh? Now, they always say, إِلَّا فِرَارًا مِنَ الزَّكَاةِ. Right, whenever they talk about this, they say, you can't be doing this to escape from zakat. Okay? You can't be doing this to run away from zakat. Because if you do that, Allah will catch you, inshallah. There's no doubt about that. So for example, if a woman is wearing like gold rings and she has a necklace, right? According to Malikiyya and the Shafi'iyya and Hanabila, it's like clothes that she's wearing, right? It's like the clothes on her body. So that is why it is accepted. Alright? Correct. Well, they say like, you know, whatever is, you know, like istimal and mubahan, whatever is okay, right? That is fine. But I would say, I would err on the side of caution and include that, right? Include that, right? So now, for example, like in the Pakistani culture, for example, the gold, the women don't wear a lot of gold around the house. But the gold is passed down from like generation to generation. So my mom got her like gold from her mom, and she's gonna give it to like my granddaughters, right? And they will like probably never wear it. Maybe wear it once in like 5 years or something. But it's just like a family thing. It's just passed down in the family. Now that's not wearing regularly, right? I would count that as zakatable, right? It's an asset. So it would be you should include that, wallahu a'lam. Okay, the gold and silver. To make it things easy, include that in your calculations. What you would do is, you would take the value of gold and find the current day, current price of gold, how much the price of it is, and take what's close to like market value, right? So the price quoted is, you're not going to get in the market, right? If I take like my wife's ring and sell it in the market, I won't get the exact price that I'm getting on the internet, right? So 80% of that roughly is a good, safe figure. Okay, so you would include that 80% of the value of the gold, of the jewelry, because if you were to sell it, that's what you would get in money from it, right? And you would put that as the value of gold, as the value of silver. If you have a jewelry that has, you know, like, for example, stone in it, stone there's no zakat on, but you can estimate how much is stone, how much is silver, how much is gold. You can go to like a jeweler once and get all those figures. And then once you're done that, alhamdulillah, that doesn't change every year, right? Point is, you can estimate, you can write down, and you can then write, this is how much my gold and silver are worth in total, right? Wallahu a'lam. Debt you, debts owed to you, right? Debt that has to be given to you, okay? So, that is to be added to your total amount. Okay, so for example, I have say $5,000 in my bank account, all right, and I gave $5,000 to my friend. Okay? And I am very sure that he will give that $5,000 back to me. Okay? I will give zakat on $10,000. Okay? I will give zakat on $10,000. Because I'm very sure he's going to give me that $5,000. Now, I also gave maybe $1,000 to a friend, and that guy, you know, his business is bankrupt, and he's like, inshallah, I'll give it to you one day. I'm like, he's never giving it to me, right? that one day is never coming, right? I've already forgiven him. I said, khalas, you know, inshallah, Allah will reward me in the day of judgment. Then that 1,000 I don't add to my total amount. I just pay on the debt I am sure I will get back, right? Is doubtful. But the 5,000 I know he's going to pay me back. I'm very sure, right? So I pay zakat on that. Yes. You pay zakat on that $5,000. Yes, yes. Yeah, you add it to your total money, and then you give zakat. Make sense? Within a year, of course. The year has to pass on it. Can you give zakat before it's time? Yes, you can. Right? Can you give zakat before the whole year has passed? You can calculate, right? And you know, calculate fairly well that this is how much I will owe once Ramadan starts, and you can pay your zakat in Sha'ban before Ramadan begins, because it's good to do that. There's no problem. Wallahu a'lam. Right? Great question. Yes. Yes. If you've forgotten about the debt, the money you have given, that's the money that's not coming back, brother. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh, no, so that's nafaqah, that's spending you're doing for family. That's not a debt, right? Do you give them, that's like a loan?
No.
Okay.
Not my family, but brothers or whatever, like an aunt or something like that.
Yes.
Back home, you send money.
Right. So that's nafaqah, right? That's like you're spending money on them, you're giving them money.
I give them money.
Yeah, that's it.
But it can't be a zakat too, right? It can't be zakat.
No, there's no zakat on that. That's like as if you have like bought them something, you've given them money.
No.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
you don't.
The point I'm trying to make.
Yes.
The point is, like, suppose I'm supposed to pay, say, 2,000.
Yes.
Suppose I have a 40,000 for
now. Yes.
And I maybe pay whatever the money was. So if I say, last month, I pay 1,500.
Yes.
To somebody.
Yes.
Home, right?
Yes.
So that 1,500, can I count?
Do you give that as a loan to somebody? 1,500?
No.
No? Or the support for them to like
support,
yeah. So this that's doesn't count. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Later on as well, you can make that niyyah for sure, right? As long as you don't then say, okay, now I change my niyyah, give me my money back, right? Yeah. Sure. Khalas. Yes.
You can count that one or not?
No, don't count that one. Don't count that one. That's not, you don't pay zakat on that. Is that what you mean? We'll talk after Isha, Isha. Maybe I'm not. Khalas, yeah. Huh? Yeah, yeah. 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 Is that the question? Okay, so if you owe, okay, so you're already giving money as, and then now you have to owe zakat. Okay, now I get the question. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Wasal al-amr. So zakat, when you give, you have to have the niyyah of saying this is zakat.
At that time.
Yes, at that time. This is as zakat. You have to have the niyyah of doing that. All right? It's sadaqah. Sadaqah, right? You can give to a poor person, but it's a sadaqah. But I say, here is 4% and this is not my zakat, that is zakat. Right? So great question. If I've given money away, right, and then I say, okay, can that money that I've given away count as zakat? The answer is no. When you're giving zakat, you have to have the niyyah of saying, I'm giving zakat. Wallahu. Jazakallah khair for clarifying. Allah al-Musta'an. I don't know what happened. Maybe I'm sleepy. Quickly, shares and investments. Okay, so now there's a formula here for shares and investments. I'm going to jump to the idea of investment accounts. Okay, because nobody has shares in like a random account. Okay, generally speaking. You have shares and stocks and other assets in an account that is generally a registered account. So you have an RRSP account, which is a registered retirement savings account. You have a RESP account, which is for the kids. And you have a TFSA. Okay, TFSA is tax-free savings account. TFSA counts like cash. Okay, because you have access to it 100%. TFSA is like liquid cash. You can get it in like 2 weeks. The check is in the mail. It counts as cash. So you will take all of your TFSA and add it to your cash amount. Okay, RESP, you have no access to that money because that will be given to the child. That will be given to the child once they go to university. Okay, you have no access to that money, so there won't be any zakat on it. However, I would say with RESP, a person contributes every certain frequency. Okay, I would say a person out of ihtiyat, out of care, should calculate how much 1 year they have put in RESP. Right, because if you didn't put it in RSP, it would be in your hand, correct? And you give zakat on just that 1 year's amount, and that's it. Just to be careful, because what you're doing is you're taking money that you have, and I'm putting it in a place now you don't have anymore, ever. Right? So just to be safe that you're not firara min zakat, you're not running away from zakat, you are preserving that by giving zakat on it. Can you just take a few more minutes, Shaykh Ghazali, inshallah? A couple more minutes, inshallah? He was surprised. RRSPs have what's called a withdrawal withholding tax or withdrawal tax, right? So what you do is this: if you have, say, if I take out $10,000 in RRSP, the place that holds my RRSP will charge me 20% tax. So how much will it be left? 8,000, right? Now, $8,000 is what I'll get if I take that 10,000 out, okay? Now, that 8,000, when it's added to my income, I will probably pay another $4,000 in taxes on that 8,000. Now, my income, I'm just making it up, all right? I don't make that much money. But assume that 8,000 now, when it comes to my income, when I pay my tax, I have to pay 4 of that to the tax man. So what's left in my hand is 4,000. You give zakat on the 4,000 from your RSP. That's the zakat. You have to do a bit of calculation before you do that, but it's an important thing to do so that you are giving zakat on your RSPs correctly. Many people give zakat on all of their RSP. Mashallah, some of their RSP is like, you know, a lot. But brother, you don't have access to that money. Some people are like, I don't have access to all of it, so none of it I will give zakat on. That's not true either. You have access to some of it, so you give zakat on whatever amount you have access to. Okay, that is the RSPs. Last thing I will come to is the business assets and property. If I own a house, do I have zakat on the house? No zakat on the house. Alhamdulillah, it's my house. Right? Correct? If I own a house and I'm renting the house for somebody, someone's renting it from me and I get monthly income, zakat is on the house, on the income? On the rent, right? The zakat is on the rent. If I own a house and my business is to sell houses, okay? My business is to sell houses. Then I will pay zakat on that thing because it's something I'm buying and selling, okay? Assuming I've had it for the whole year, I will pay zakat on its value. If I have a house and I'm not sure, I don't really live there, but I don't want to rent it out because I don't want people to ruin my walls or something, okay? Then there is no zakat until someone rents it or until you sell it. And then zakat will kick in. Do you see? So for, it could be your second property, third property. You could have multiple properties, right? Now, again, everything is illa firara min al-zakat. You can't be trying to escape zakat. Okay? You can't park your money in a house hoping to run away from zakat. Okay? Because Allah knows your intentions. But you're like, you know what? I bought this house for, you know, living here, but I can't move right now. I don't know when I'll move. I don't want to rent. People will ruin my washroom or something, right? So then that house will just stay there, right? That is your property for business. If you have a business, anything you're selling. If I'm selling water bottles, okay, I will pay zakat on the total inventory of water bottles that I have that I can sell at a wholesale price. Okay, not the retail price. The retail price is $1. Wholesale price is 20 cents. I will pay zakat on the all of my inventory, 20 cents a bottle. That at the end of the year, once the whole year has passed. So those are the assets.
That's not why.
Hmm?
That's not why. But this is not why that like restaurant
business is tough. So, yeah, if your water stays for 1 year, Allahu Akbar.
Curiosity is like, that's what you have, you can tell it, you can estimate it.
It has to last for the year. It has to last for the whole year. Right? So if it doesn't last a year, it's going every month, every 2-3 weeks, alhamdulillah, it's just coming and going. Yes. Yes.
That the new company will have.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And then before you open or maybe use them all, then time comes. So what
yes.
So,
great question. You have money you have saved up. You have $100,000 you saved up to open a business. You put it in an account. Okay? And now you're waiting. The moment you put it into the account is day one of the year on that money. Okay? Now you wait. If you have purchased your business before the year ends, alhamdulillah, you purchased your business. If you haven't purchased it, it's been a whole year, then you pay zakat on that money. Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about the specific question later, right? Like by ourselves. But if I have money that I put away, that money, if a whole year passes on it and I haven't touched it, I have to pay zakat on it. You see? Hmm? Yeah. Khalas, yeah. Inshallah, yeah. So after Salah, we'll do questions as well. Quickly, liabilities, right? So any debts you have, okay? Any debts, of course, not the interest part you remove, that would not be counted. SubhanAllah. Any debt you have is to be subtracted from your zakat. So imagine I have to give somebody $1,000, okay? Then that $1,000 will be subtracted from my overall. I have $10,000, I have to give somebody $1,000, then my overall zakat will be on $9,000. That's it, right? Now, I calculate that the last year month, Sha'ban, my monthly expense is going to be $500. Gas, groceries, you know. So I will take that $500 and I will add it to my subtractions. Because I will pay that money out of pocket before the year ends. Number three, I have a long-term debt. Maybe I have a student loan. Student loan is $20,000. Okay, if you start subtracting $20,000 from your total amount, you will never pay zakat, brother. Right? You will never pay zakat. So what I do is I pay $1,000 for student loans. Okay? Yes? A month. Okay? That gives me for the year how much? 12,000. So I will subtract the 12,000 for the year from my total net. That's how I will get my zakatable amount. That applies to mortgages, that applies to student loans, any long-term loan. You calculate the monthly, multiply it by the year, and that amount you subtract from your net value, and then you give zakat on that. Same thing for business assets as well, and whatnot. Yes. Huh? Car loan. If you're making monthly payments, same thing. Yes. Same thing. Anything you're making monthly payments to, same thing happens to it. After Isha, we'll do questions and answers. Inshallah, I know there's a lot of questions, and we rushed through the end a little bit. But we'll recap the liabilities part one more time, and hopefully with some questions.
حياكم الله بارك الله فيكم في غزاة الفضل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك